With us today is Extension Livestock Market Economist, Dr. Daryl Peel. Daryl, thank you for being with us for a few moments today. And let's talk about these two Friday USDA government reports, the monthly cattle on feed report and the biennial twice a year cattle inventory report. First of all, let's maybe take a look at the cattle on feed numbers. Tell us about those and we'll get into the inventory here in just a few moments.
You bet. This July cattle on feed report really was well anticipated. Placements in the month of June came in down 2.4% in total. Marketings were about 2% above a year ago. And again, both of those were just very close to expectations. The on feed total as of July 1st was just a tick over last year at 100.4% of last year's total. The thing that's in this report that I think is significant, perhaps it's the second month in a row, almost identical to what we did in the last monthly cattle on feed report. Even though the placements are down in total, this month 2.4%, last month I think it was like 2.1%, placements of cattle under 700 pounds this month is up 4.1%. It was up about 5% last month, while the placements of cattle over 700 pounds is down 6.1% this year. So, what's really emphasized in the last 2 months that, the way we're able to not be dropping placements more than we are is because we're placing a lot of lightweight cattle now, but that also means that they won't be there later to place, and so it's going to catch up with us here at some point.
And the placement, those lighter weight cattle that are being placed then, like I said, last month as well as this month, that is what a symptom of the drought conditions. A lot of folks having to move cattle a little bit quicker.
You know, the drought is kind of aiding and abetting this. I think feedlots are just trying to hold numbers. That's what they need to do. They're trying to keep their volumes up, keep the feed mill running. So they're placing kind of whatever they can get. The drought is helping that because it's forcing some people to move some cattle in. And so, the two are kind of co-conspirators in this process. So, those lightweight cattle will stay on feed longer. It takes a longer time to finish them. That's going to help these feedlots hold those numbers for a while. But the rate of marketings here should slow down at some point in time because there's really less cattle flowing through the system. They're just spending more time in the feedlots while they're there.
Any insights as far as the heifers on the cattle on feed report?
This surprises me, I guess, because we've had elevated heifers on feed. Of course, heifer slaughter has been high. First half of the year, heifer slaughter's up about 3.8%. And so, for the heifers to be up at one point is fine. We slaughter them. It should come down. But in fact, in this July quarterly breakdown, heifers are still up 3% on a year-over-year basis. The steers on feed are down 1.1%. So I'll be honest with you, I don't really know where we're getting all these heifers from, but apparently we still have some more in the feedlot, although it clearly probably does indicate that, again, heifers that might have been held for replacements are not being, they're being diverted into the feedlots.
As you mentioned, at some point, we're going to run out of heifers.
That's exactly right. We are, we're liquidating females at a pretty rapid rate with the cow slaughter pace that we've seen this year, the heifer slaughter pace, and the fact that there's a lot of heifers still in the feedlot says that we're continuing to place those heifers and we're going to continue to slaughter those heifers. So, we're pulling down female numbers pretty rapidly.
Let's talk about the cattle inventory report. Maybe review the numbers for us and what you saw that was most significant.
Yeah, this report, of course, gives us a national snapshot of the broader industry in total. The all cattle and calves inventory was down 2% from a year ago. Probably the thing we're focused most on, the beef cow number, was down a full 3%. And that's actually, I think, a little bigger than most of the expectations. That puts the cow herd down, on a numbers basis, 950,000 head less than a year ago. The beef replacement heifers also was down 3.5%. So, once again, this says that we have gotten rid of a lot of cows and we don't have very many heifers to work with. So it's, we're going to be in a bigger and bigger hole when it comes to the numbers. On the dairy side, the dairy cow inventory was down just slightly, 0.5%, but the dairy replacement heifers were down 6.3%. So on the dairy side, they apparently are not holding heifers in anticipation of building numbers either. If you look at the other categories, other heifers, steers over 500 pounds, calves under 500 pounds, we add those all up, subtract off the feedlot inventory, and what's left is our estimated feeder supply. And that number is, again, it's down significantly from last year. I don't think I have the percentage right in front of me, but, it's down sharply from a year ago as well. So, again, we are, we're going to see tighter cattle numbers going forward. That's inevitable at this point, and the cow herd, or the breeding herd, if you will, the factory is getting smaller.
Usually the numbers here at the mid-year report give us a little bit of an indicator of what's going to happen in that January report, which gives us a lot more information, including state-by-state numbers right. of beef cows and whatnot. What are you seeing from this report that may be pointing toward that January report?
Well, again, I think many people, and there were the pre-report estimates for this, on average, did not have the beef cow herd down quite this much. And so I think this comes in to emphasize that we have already liquidated more cows. I suspect, as I work the numbers, the way on the pace that we're on so far this year, I think we will see the beef cow herd down a million head, or perhaps a little bit more. It could be 1.1 to 1.2 million head by the time we get to January 1, and that's a big decrease. We're down about 1.56 million head, about 1.6 million head in total from the peak in 2019. So 2020, 2021, coming into 2022, we were down 1.6 million head in beef cows. We're probably taking that down by another million to a million one or two going into 2023.
And again, we go back, we talked about the drought as it impacted some of the placement decisions on the cattle on feed report. The drought very much driving this thing. And it's in our part of the country, Texas, Oklahoma, especially.
That's exactly right. We've really seen it come home to roost here in the Southern Plains in the last week or two. Cull cow prices at auctions had been remarkably strong all year, even though we have been slaughtering cows at a very aggressive rate. But in the last 2 weeks, we have seen, in the Southern Plains at least, a very sharp drop in cull cow numbers. I think we're just overwhelming the market right now with the number of cows coming to town. So we're really seeing, and we kind of expect that in a drought. That's typically what happens. And maybe it's surprising that it didn't happen sooner, but it is clearly happening now.
And I guess for the guys that are trying to make the decision, what do they do as far as, maybe cutting at least some of their cows, trying to decide which ones maybe need to go to town. These are tough decisions, aren't they?
They are extremely tough decisions. They're very emotional decisions, obviously. And so I think there's a couple things that you have to keep in mind. One is at this point in time, you have to be sort of realistic that even if we get some rain here in the last part of the summer, how much forage are we really going to grow? We will grow some, but we're not going to make up for the loss of pasture and hay that we've endured so far. So, we're probably not trying to figure out how to get to September or October. We're trying to figure out how to get to next May or April at least. And so I think that's the basis that you make those decisions on. And then when it comes to culling decisions on a herd-by-herd basis, you kind of work from both ends of the herd. Obviously, if you've got old cows, you cull them sooner rather than later, and maybe some of the older cows that wouldn't necessarily have to be culled, but they're marginal and maybe they're next in line for culling. At the same time, if you can't keep all the cows you have, then you probably are going to work on the other end. You're not going to keep as many replacement heifers. You don't have the feed to develop them properly anyway. So you're going to kind of work from both ends. And what you're really trying to do, hopefully as a last resort, is to hang on to that core, middle part of your herd, the proven, cows that have several years of productivity left, and keep that core herd to work from as we go through this thing and try to be in a position to rebuild afterwards.
Is this, how similar is this to that 2011-2012 time period?
I think it's frighteningly similar, Ron, in many ways. You look at what we did in 2011-2012 from a herd liquidation standpoint. Obviously, then we remember what the market reaction was 2014-2015. I really think we're setting up a scenario, something like that here over the next 2 to 4 or 5 years.
Extension Livestock Market Economist Dr. Darrell Peel. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.